So those are the two biggest games this week, I think. Normally we do, at the end of our show, we do quick hits where we talk about which games we're looking forward to, upset alerts. This week, let's just instead kind of do a modified quick hits for the other championship games, because this is championship week. We should touch on each one a little bit. Those were the two that we wanted to spend a little bit more time on. These other five, we'll just throw some notes, observations around, whatnot, if that sounds good to you. Yep. Let's get out of the way. The Pac-12 quote-unquote championship, UCLA, Oregon. In Oregon, which makes it even more hilarious, as if there wasn't enough reason to hate this game. UCLA, of course, losing 50-0 last week to USC, loses Neuheisel his job. The only question I have for you for this game is this the worst conference championship game ever?
Yes.
Yeah, it is, right?
It's a black eye for the conference. I mean, it's not the kind of game that when Larry Scott envisioned what this was going to look like, and maybe one day he'll have a neutral site, but Eugene's a great place to play a championship game for your conference, and this is maybe the destination he envisioned that game being played in. This is not the type of game on Fox, nationally televised on a Friday night, that he expected to have. It's just a tough game to have to endure if you're a Pac-12
fan.
It
was an atrocious year for the South Division, and you know, USC, obviously the best team in that division. But we all knew the sanctions were there coming into the year. We would have imagined that Arizona State might have stepped in as that next best team. Heck, a lot of people thought they'd finish with the best record. We didn't know Arizona was going to be as bad as they were. Just a terrible year for the division all around. If UCLA beat Oregon, I would put that among the biggest upsets in the history of sports.
Yeah.
And I know in a year like this, and it's college football and blah, 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 short of the 1980 USA win over Russia, I can't think of a bigger upset right now.
I mean, you know, the game, I think the spread's in the 30s. It would be reminiscent of me, that game that Stanford won, obviously, as the greatest statistical upset at USC.
The Coliseum.
I think it's probably in that range, and it's just something you don't expect to see.
I remember that like it was yesterday. I remember how big of an upset that was. I think this one would be bigger. I mean, this is nuts that this is a championship game. So, needless to say, in case you're not reading between the lines, we both figure Oregon wins by 35+.
Right.
Quite easily, even if UCLA gets the passion bucket flowing for their fall.
I mean, talking about this game is just painful.
Okay, so let's move into a better game. The Big Ten Championship, the team that will get to play Oregon in the Rose Bowl, or I'm sorry, the winner of the Pac-12 Championship.
Right.
Wisconsin-Michigan State, the rematch of the awesome game earlier in the season that ended on the Michigan State Hail Mary. The big story here, of course, Monty Ball has 34 touchdowns. He's just five away from Barry Sanders' all-time record of 39 touchdowns at the college level. He should be able to put a little bit of a dent into that in this game. Do we see a similar outcome to the last one, or is Wisconsin come out on top this time?
I mean, the thing about the last game that sticks out to me, Michigan State had to play a flawless game just to have a chance at a Hail Mary to win. I mean, the Spartans didn't get called for one penalty in that game, and then they still needed the Hail Mary, and they got it. There's a reason I think that Wisconsin is a 9.5-point favorite. I like them in this game because Monty Ball, you hope for this game, manages to stay in it the entire time. When he went out, that run game was less than 4 yards a carry. When he's in it, he goes over 100 yards in the game. I think that he is the key, as we'd say on most days, to open up Russell Wilson. I like Wisconsin in this game. I'm not saying that they'll win by 10 because I have too much respect for Michigan State's D, which is still third in the country in total defense, and they get a Golston back at defensive end, which would make a huge difference potentially in stopping Monty Ball. But I do like Wisconsin in this
game. I think you're right. It took a perfect effort from Michigan State, and that home crowd really helped out a lot in that one. Having this game in a neutral location definitely favors Wisconsin.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a game that should be played indoors. These teams are outdoor, cold weather teams, and they're going to play in the friendly confines of Indianapolis there where they have the indoor roof. But I think it'll still be a fun game and hopefully a grinded out physical game that we expect.
And it's funny, we do expect that, but at the same same time, in the last nine games, of course, it's gone over the total. So right. We also expect a lot of offense in these games. So I think Wisconsin comes out on top. And while they had national championship aspirations, obviously, it could potentially set up a Wisconsin-Oregon game that would be very fun. Two great rushing teams. That would be a lot of fun to see. And Wisconsin get another shot in the Rose Bowl. So that could set up an interesting game. And obviously, if Michigan State pulls it off, that would be interesting as well. So we'll see what happens in that one. And I'm hoping that Monty Ball notches a couple more touchdowns. That would be really cool to see him get to 40 in his bowl game and break that record. Now, the ACC championship is another rematch earlier this season. Clemson, last time these two teams played, came into Virginia Tech, handed them their only loss of the season in dominant fashion. They just blew Virginia Tech out in Virginia Tech. These teams have changed quite a bit since then. Virginia Tech since then has just been rolling. They're coming off of that 38-0 win over Virginia that stunned us both. We were talking about how much we respected Virginia and what they were doing on defense. Virginia Tech just steamrolled them, looked great on both sides of the ball. Clemson's lost three of their last four. Is the result different this time around?
I mean, it just seems like it. This is a game where the last game that we covered, the Big Ten championship and the rematch there, that's two pretty solidly even teams, and I just think Wisconsin gets over the top this time. But this game, it's just the form of these two teams couldn't be more of a contrast. Clemson is in the worst form that I've seen them in a couple of years, actually. That loss against South Carolina, they were pretty hopeless. Virginia Tech obviously rolling. The big thing, Logan Thomas is playing at such a high level. He was terrible against Clemson, you know, back in that October game. Now, all of a sudden, between him and David Wilson, who maybe on any other year would be a Heisman candidate, a dark horse to get to New York.
Definitely.
1,595 yards, a tremendous year for him. I think that balance for Virginia Tech on offense and the way their defense is playing, that they can maybe even roll in this game.
Yeah, not only does Virginia Tech have the recent form, they also have the experience in these big games. We talk about Clemson being Clemson. They finally have done that. They've resorted back to being Clemson, while Virginia Tech, under Frank Beamer, true to form, they get their one loss that frustrates everybody, and then true to form, they take care of their business and likely win the ACC title. And lastly, this is a revenge game for them. This is fresh on these players' minds that the guys sitting across from them are the reason why they're not going to be in the national championship game, arguably. So plenty of reasons to like Virginia Tech here. And unless Clemson finds its form in a hurry, I agree, this one might not even be close.
And there's nothing worse than a quarterback that plays with zero confidence, and that's what you have out of Taj Boyd right now. He was 11 for 30 against South Carolina, and they have said, look, he's just not playing with any confidence right now. That's the worst thing you can have on top of all these other elements.
A guy we were talking about in the Heisman conversation earlier in the season, deservedly so, has certainly fallen off the map, and that's part of the reason why the team has as well. Now, the Conference USA Championship, Southern Miss going into Houston. This is a Southern Miss team that lost that game to UAB that was very frustrating, but you know what? I still think Southern Miss is an underrated team, a very good team. I'm willing to write that game off as a fluke and say that Houston isn't going to cruise in this one, that this is going to be a good game.
Yeah, it's a shame that Southern Miss comes in ranked 24th. They should be ranked substantially higher. This should be a more high-profile game than it is, you know, given that loss to UAB. This is one of the better Conference USA title games that we've seen in
Definitely.
A while. The interesting thing is going to be which coach can stay more focused on the task at hand and not with all these rumors swirling. Fedora and Sumlin both have their names everywhere. Which one will be able to say, this is my goal, this is my sole focus, and it is going to be a good game. I mean, Case Keenum has broken every record imaginable. I can't look at these numbers, 43 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, and get over it. It's the kind of, I don't know if we'll see those statistics again. Those are insane numbers. Will Southern Miss have an answer for him? I mean, the last time he played them was a couple of years ago, and he had 559 yards and 5 touchdowns. It's a different Southern Miss team, but will they have any answer for him is the question.
I think this is, as far as the Conference USA goes, a pass-happy conference. This is one of the best defenses in the conference, and it's the type of team that if anybody's going to come up with something to slow this guy down, I think it can be them. But Houston at home this year has played at another level. When that offense can hear all the calls at the line and everything, and someone, of course, a good play caller, Case Keenum, the greatest college quarterback of all time, statistically, certainly. So I do think Houston wins and earns that BCS bowl bid in the process. But I believe this one's about a 2-touchdown spread, and I think Southern Miss can keep it within that. I may be wrong. I may be giving them too much credit, but if you throw that one game out, they've had an outstanding season, and I think they can make a game of this. And you know what? Offensively, Southern Miss might be able to do something, because Houston, to their defense, has actually played very well on defense lately, but I think they're due for a bit of a regression. They've been playing a bit over
their head. Austin Davis is a pretty talented quarterback in his own right, so we'll see if Southern Miss has an answer, maybe to shoot out a little bit with Houston at least.
Lastly, the MAC championship game. You know, normally I'd say, hey, it's the MAC, it's the MAC-tion, you know, we could just skip it, it's the lousiest of the conference games. This Ohio and Northern Illinois at Ford Field is a better game than UCLA Oregon.
Yeah, I think so too. It's just one of those games. I mean, if you're looking to be entertained, I recommend watching that game, not the UCLA Oregon game. And you know, Chandler Harnish, if you look at what he is as a player, I don't know that there's a quarterback that is a better runner, and this includes Denard Robinson, than this guy, who has 1,351 yards and is averaging 8 yards a carry almost on the ground, 11 touchdowns, but he's also thrown 23 touchdowns against only 4 picks. I mean, Eastern Washington, another coach in Ron English that we talk about, they did a nice job in a loss 18-12 of containing an offense that's been pretty explosive the entire year, but this guy is worth watching alone.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. He's a true dual threat quarterback, and he has the tendency, much like Denard Robinson, obviously not on the stage that he's getting the notoriety, to put up hundreds upon hundreds of yards himself. He both through the air and on the ground. Northern Illinois has won 7 straight games, so that one should be fun. And Ohio has put together a pretty decent year too. Again, nothing really on the line here other than the MAC championship, but a more fun game Friday night than the UCLA Oregon game, I think.
I think so too.
So let's wrap this up with our biggest surprise, since that's usually what we do in our quick hits section. What was your biggest surprise last week?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I look at a game in the ACC. NC State trailed 41-14 against Maryland with 6 minutes left in the third quarter. And from then on, they scored 6 straight times that they had the ball. They rallied to beat Maryland 56-41 at home. At one time, obviously, that means that Maryland had a 27-point lead in the second half. The Wolfpack rallied with 35 points in the fourth quarter. They stunned the Terps. It couldn't be any worse for Maryland, given the debut of those uniforms to where we are now. What a terrible decline it's been.
Those uniforms certainly won't hold the same prowess anymore. Yeah. But I was just looking at that game, and I was remembering back to earlier in the season, you and I were in Vegas, and we put a little bit of money down on Georgia Tech in a game that they were covering the spread no problem by 7 points, and they have a fumble that is recovered by their opponent and run back for a touchdown, which cost us the cover. And we're both thinking, how does Georgia Tech fumble on a running out the clock with 30 seconds to go? This is all this team does is run. This is the worst thing you'll ever see as a bettor. Well, I can't begin to imagine from a betting perspective. Maryland was a 13-point underdog in this game. So you're sitting there with the biggest dream of a lead you could possibly imagine, plus your 13 points. I mean, you're just saying, let's just get this game over with and go cash my ticket. And to watch that collapse, oh my goodness, I thought what we went through was bad.
I know, and it's a team now that's lost 7 straight games, and you know, it's a program that under a new head coach you'd expect to gain some momentum towards the end of the year. They got their momentum at the beginning with a couple of wins, and it's been terrible since.
A terrible season capped off by a terrible game.
Yep.
And my biggest surprise, you know, the reason we're in this UCLA-Oregon mess, not that Utah would have been a much better game, but Utah losing at home to Colorado as a 22-point favorite. But more than that, it just doesn't make sense. This is, again, a Colorado team that's just awful.
Yeah.
Just awful on both sides of the ball. A Utah team that despite injuries, has put together a pretty decent second half, and there was really no reason to believe that they weren't going to win that game handily at home and take control for a little while. Obviously, then once the ASU game went the way it did, Utah would have won the Pac-12 South. They would have won that game, or they would have won that bid into the Pac-12 championship. I can't begin to understand how they lost to Colorado.
Colorado hadn't won a road game in 4 years. They had a streak that didn't look like it was going to end anytime soon. And Utah, again, playing well and had to know that the likelihood that they could gain that bid to the Pac-12 title was a lot more feasible than people, you know, thought certainly weeks ago. And they maybe had the best chance of the teams in the Pac-12 South to make it, because ASU was in such bad form. They were going to lose to Cal. UCLA was never going to beat SC. Utah had to know that was theirs for the taking, and they came up not only short, but they ended the year in a terrible way.
Terrible note. I mean, it's a really big loss for them, considering the momentum that they were building as the season went on. So this has been episode 13 of Running the Option, the last of the regular season. We probably only have about one left. We'll probably do a bowl edition at some point later in December. But it's been a fun ride. Definitely. The college football has certainly provided us with enough bumps along the way.
As it usually does.
Yes, so been a pleasure getting through this regular season with you. As always, I'm Dave Consolazio. This is Sam Saig. You can email me at VegasDavesDime@gmail.com.
And you can email me at SamSaig@gmail.com.
If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Thank you guys for listening this week and all year. And we'll hope to have you back for the Bowl Podcast.
Take care, everybody.